You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky joined by Andy, dare we say, the goats of Warriors audio, Sam Asfendiar and Andy Liu, hosts of the Light Years podcast over on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Great Warriors / NBA podcast. Thanks, guys, for coming on, especially on short notice. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, guys. Always fun to chop it up.
Best week of the season coming. Yep. Best week of the season coming.
They are the podcast equivalent of when Baron Davis lifted up his shirt in the We Believe years. That's the type of spirit that Andy and Sam generate for Warriors fans everywhere.
Well, guys, we've been doing this every year around the play-in tournament, going back, 5, 10, 15 years. We've been getting together for a podcast and putting it together. And this is, it's exciting to be able to do it again. We have a lot that we want to get into, including I am frightened of the Warriors. I want to know how they got here. Andy has some questions about supporting casts and things like that. We'll do that throughout the show. Do want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. So it'll be Wednesday night, 7 p.m. at Staples Center, 7 p.m. Pacific. This is the game that everyone wanted to see in the play-in, including Adam Silver. The Warriors, I guess it's like 15-5 over their last 20, coming in, playing great defense, looking good on offense. Steph's averaging 73 points a game over his last 10. Sam, how did they get here?
I mean, is it because of process of elimination? 20 games ago is when James Wiseman got hurt. Shortly thereafter, Kelly Oubre went down. Those are, let's just say, the two biggest black holes on the team in terms of, like the Warriors are known for ball movement and passing and all those zen-like cliches that Steve Kerr loves to use. Hard to do it with players who average a half assist a game. So in some ways, eliminating those players.
And you guys want to trade for Ben McLemore last night? he's available if you're looking to bring to the team last minute what those guys were providing. I think he's out of the rotation.
Maybe. It's also allowed the Warriors to play Draymond at his best position. Steph's been getting all the highlights, but Draymond has looked probably as good as I've seen him since 2016 when he was an all-star, 2017 when he was an all-star. So the combination of those two things has allowed the Warriors to kind of lean into this small ball identity. And yeah, they're probably thin on the margins, but dangerous enough in any singular game.
Okay, that actually leads to something Brian and I were talking about during Monday's podcast, where Brian said that the team as a whole has been playing really well, and it would be dismissive to think of them as the Steph Curry show. I said
just the Steph Curry
show. Right, just the Steph Curry show. I said, I get that other guys are there, but let's not overthink this. It's the Steph Curry show. Andy, who is closer to correct in this, even if there could be, I guess, some degree of nuance in this?
Sam forgot to mention one thing about the changes. They've got three guys in the starting lineup, or that is in the closing lineup most days. Kevon Looney, Draymond Green, and Juan Toscano-Anderson. They all have things in common, one thing in common. All they do is pass to Steph Curry. That's all they do. They're on the floor to do one thing.
Thank you.
One thing. And they do these little passes. They basically run it. They play pass 15 times, but the final pass is always going to be to Steph. And I think the defensive part is different, right? Their defense is amazing. And that's not because of Steph, although he's been great defensively. That's because they're playing Draymond at the five. Looney's awesome. Wiggins awesome. All that stuff. But offensively, I mean, my goodness, you guys know that 36 attempts yesterday was the most that he's ever shot in his career. I didn't know, but that's the most he's ever
really?
Shot.
I would have thought. Yeah. I would have thought. I mean, not that he's like crazy right. shot happy, right. but like
you,
I would have
thought
would have
there would
have
been,
one
been
game.
A game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what the Warriors are offensively. And that's why I know you guys are a little worried. I wouldn't worry too much just because this team is it's a lot on one guy's shoulder, and you know, he's amazing, but it's not like they're playing the Memphis Grizzlies against, guys.
Why am I the only one here ready to give Juan Toscano-Anderson his flowers? Like, you know, I am ready for Jordan Poole time. Like, awesome.
Juan, okay, by the way, might be the like second or third most beloved Warrior in the Bay Area right now. Like, obviously, no one's going to touch Steph Curry and Draymond Green because they have a decade of accomplishments here. But like, Juan, I think you would see like a revolt outside of the Chase Center if the Warriors traded Juan Toscano-Anderson.
He feels like the Alex Caruso of Northern California.
Exactly. That type of like the fan base, they can do no wrong in the fan base's eye.
So, okay. But like, so explain to me this 15-5 though, because I mean, you look at the schedule, and Sam, I saw you point this out on Twitter a little bit. Like it's not the hardest schedule that an NBA team has played over their last stretch, but they have won most of those games, and they beat Utah, they beat Phoenix. Are they really playing well, or are they just getting fortunate here?
They are playing well. I think the biggest thing is they have a clear identity over the last 20 games. The We Believe stuff we've had fun with. Draymond dislikes it. Steph likes it. But on a pure basketball level, they play that same type of we're going to force turnovers and run on you. There's no more of like, how do we fit Kelly Oubre into this? How do we develop James Wiseman while also winning? It's like, instead of having 4 to 5 different things they're trying to do, it's like, here's the game plan. Force turnovers and pass to Steph. And that's basically, on some level, like simplifying
it's
things.
That famous shot tree graphic. Yeah, you know, exactly. Do you have the ball? Yes. Pass to Steph.
Not a
yes.
complicated flow chart is what you're saying.
I mean, go watch the Memphis game. It's like them passing and doing dribble handoffs in a circle as Steph runs around until he gets open and then shoots it. On
this
some level,
telling Brian, I'm like, man, don't overcomplicate this. Like, the more you try to like break down the nuance of this or say that there's more going on, the more you're gonna sound like an idiot. They're giving the ball.
It takes a village to pass to the same guy 14 times.
It is nuanced in the way, different ways they pass the stuff, though. It is nuanced, different ways.
Yes,
they pass.
Sometimes it's a bounce pass. Sometimes
shrimp cocktail, shrimp grilled shrimp, shrimp salad. All right, so but you know, I mean, Andy, is it possible that just with Kelly Oubre that, you know, he was just too handsome to fit into the offense? Like, they just couldn't play properly because they had to look at him? Is you know, that, you know?
Kelly Oubre, I think – so Jordan Poole, I'm going to switch it and then I'll go back to Kelly Oubre. But Jordan Poole and Kelly Oubre has that same kind of mentality, I should say. They're out there. They're really only worried about one thing. They're scoring. They're only worried about one thing. The difference is that Jordan Poole has learned from Steph. And yesterday, he had a few moments where Jordan Poole does the same stuff that Steph does, right? He's got the step back three. He's cutting. He's relocating after he passes the ball. And then the rest of the Warriors are looking for Poole like they do for Steph. Kelly Oubre, on the other hand, there's no cutting. He's getting the ball. He shoots. So that's what, when Sam's talking about kind of those guys, Wiseman and Oubre, off the floor, it's you just don't have guys anymore that are just shoot every time they get the ball. And that's a good thing because do you really want Oubre shooting? Unless it's a catch and shoot, right?
Well, that's the other thing, because Klay Thompson is a player who wasn't passing the ball, but you were always comfortable. Like, Klay could take whatever shot he wants for the same reason Steph can. Like, the law of averages will work into your favor at some point. Kelly Oubre is like a 32% three-point shooter. You know, the math, when he ends up with 8 to 10 attempts and Steph is sitting with only 5, like, it's generally not what you want to happen, you know.
In space terms, it's gravity versus anti-gravity.
Exactly.
You know, Klay does that.
With that in mind, like, and I want to get more into Steph later in the show, in terms of the way the Lakers are going to try to defend him, what he's been doing. Also, just yet another round of Steph v. LeBron, which is pretty awesome, and get into some of the reasons why. But the guys on this team who are not named Steph or Draymond, Sam, then Andy, who do you think matters the most in terms of trying to get this game against the Lakers?
We were talking about this on our post-game show yesterday, and I kind of waffled back and forth. Are we counting Draymond Green as another person? Because he's definitely the second most important player.
No, I said guys who are not named Steph or Draymond. Draymond is clearly named Draymond.
So, yeah, sorry, I missed that then. I would say probably Andrew Wiggins, but Jordan Poole is very close. Both those players are capable of giving you 20 points in any given game. And you know, we're expecting Steph to put up 30 plus tomorrow in a win or a loss. Everything's going to run through him. But at a certain point, you need someone to put the ball in the basket when the Lakers send three bodies at Steph. And I'm just going to give Wiggins kind of the tiebreaker here because he'll also be tasked with having to guard LeBron for most of the game. So him having a good game would go a long way in the Warriors winning tomorrow.
I'm going with Jordan Poole just because he's more fun. He's more fun to watch. The consistency factor with Andrew Wiggins has been this season. He's just been awesome all season long. He's been who he is. 18 points, 38% three-point shooting, solid defense. I just don't know if the defense matters as much against this Lakers team. He's not playing that type of defense on LeBron or Anthony Davis. They don't really have like a Devin Booker type. The Lakers don't. I mean, Ben McLemore, I know Andy was saying, you know, maybe you can throw him out there. Maybe Wiggins can guard him. But I think with Jordan Poole, he's the key guy where he's playing those minutes when Steph is off the floor, and he's the one that's shooting the most when Steph is off the floor. And then he also is Jordan Clarkson is a name I know you are very familiar with. Jordan Poole, I think, has a good comp to Jordan Clarkson, at least right now, moving forward. So
oh, no
I think
wonder
he's
you
the guy.
Say he's fun. Yeah, Jordan Clarkson's one of the most fun players in the NBA to watch. He's fantastic.
Are Poole's DMs as good?
Poole, by the way, lets everyone know he has no social media at all times because he doesn't want to read what people have to say. Oh, he might be not ahead of his time. Maybe we should all.
He's not exactly like Jordan Clarkson.
He's no JP. JP is no JC. All right. So I want to ask the question, if the Warriors, we'll get in our third segment to this, the Steph LeBron thing that Andy mentioned. But the next segment, I want to get into what will have happened if the Warriors win this game on Wednesday. So we'll do that next. But first, you guys probably are thinking we brought you and you know, Sam and Andy on because of your Cracker Jack Warriors analysis. It's actually because we had heard that you guys have been buying your auto parts from chain stores and dealerships, and that's just stupid. Because with the increasing amounts of makes and models out there, you can't get all the parts that you need at a traditional chain storefront. And they have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers like you guys. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low, 20, 30, even 50% lower than chain stores or a new car dealership. Andy, you want to say 50%, don't you?
Oh, it could be both.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, for that matter.
Sorry.
I
also want to I'll ask Sam time. The next one. Well, rockauto.com has everything from engine control modules and brake parts and tail lamps and motor oil and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, everything you need in a few easy clicks, it's delivered right to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you amazing selection. Reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com.
In retrospect, these are all things we could have emailed Andy and Sam about terms of the information, but I'm glad we had them.
But I like doing it live. I like springing it on them, like, you know, so they don't have time to think about it.
Wow, what a deal.
Sam thinks a lot about auto carpet. So, you know, this is just
no joke. I was Googling where I need to go get my car washed because the carpet inside my car is... It's at that point.
Don't get it washed. Just get new carpet at rockauto.com.
I might have to. It might just be done. I need some new carpet.
Okay. So I asked the question before the break. What will have happened if the Warriors win this game? Like, so, you know, either one of you can go first. But how do you think that Steve Kerr will approach this? And what is the strategy to beat the Lakers on Wednesday?
I think I guess I'll go first. The most interesting part of this is which team will go small for a longer period of time. In other words, how long will Anthony Davis play the five versus Drummond, Gasol, Trez, whoever. If the Warriors go small early with Draymond at the five and the Lakers are hell-bent on staying big, I think that could work to the Warriors' favor. I think Drummond's going to have an issue keeping up with the Warriors' pace. If they're able to stay small for an extended period of time, obviously the Lakers have an advantage rebounding, but that would be kind of the blueprint, in my opinion, for a Warriors win.
I think it'll depend on how quickly Steph says, forget the offense, I'm going to shoot it 36 times a game. And whether Steve, and what it's like, seriously, whether Steve Kerr allows that or not. Well, actually, I shouldn't say whether he allows it. whether he thinks about that or not. Because you saw the first few minutes of the Memphis game, Steph was playing awful. The offense also didn't help him. And the quicker that Steve lets go of that offense, the better. And the quicker that Steph says, I'm just going to run a pick and roll, and if you double me, I'll pass it, I'll go get the ball, and I'll chuck it, the better. If they're going to play the motion style, it's just not going to work. LeBron knows the offense better than the Warriors players outside of Steph and Draymond. So there's really no point running it.
You know, it's funny. I want to get to Steph in this game. But before even that, when you had mentioned Andre Drummond and the inability to keep up with what the Warriors were doing, which, you know, is in part Drummond being this lumbering larger guy who would be part of the Lakers' size. Andy,
lumbering.
That's
a great word for him.
I'm trying to describe this in similar to the way, like, you know, fatter young kids would be described as husky. I'm trying to do that with Andre Drummond.
God, I hated that. I was husky when I was little. This is the worst. Husky.
In terms of the way.
I'd rather just call me fat. Just say, you know,
is that what you call
him? Kamenetsky is, he's pudgy. Don't call me husky. That just sounds like you're being nice, but it's not a good word. I'm sorry, Andy. Go on.
The Lakers do like to try to impose that size, and they have a lot of it. They're capable of going smaller, but they do like to use what they can, being bigger than most teams. How effective do you think the Warriors are going to be at actually making the Lakers go smaller more?
I just think that's the Warriors' only path to victory here. They're not going to outsize the Lakers. Like, Kayvon Looney's not going to turn up tomorrow 7'3". Like, it's not a thing that's going to happen. Would be cool, but I don't see it happening. So it starts with putting Draymond at the five. In general, husky or lumbering centers tend to struggle with Draymond, mostly because, like, Draymond will take it off the glass and go coast to coast, right? He'll just beat them up and down the court, and then Steph will pick on them and make them guard him 30 feet from the rim. Those are the ways you kind of take him out of there, and you just kind of have to hope the rebounding battle isn't so one-sided. Like, you're hoping you're within five rebounds of the Lakers when you go small. It's not like a 55-30 discrepancy.
I was looking over too some of Steph's numbers against the Lakers this season, and by and large, they've done a pretty good job on him. He's averaged in three games 23 points on 43% shooting, a little bit under 35% from behind the arc. It's well below his averages on the season. His assist
curse of the chase, curse of the Staples Center for some reason.
Even in a pandemic, LA nightlife is undefeated. He's also had slightly lower assist numbers than his average, his usage numbers. Offensive ratings low, which matches up with how I remember these games in this blur of a season. It felt like the Lakers did a good job generally getting the ball out of his hands beyond trying to get him into tough shots and making it harder to get back. I guess, Andy, to begin, what do you remember about those previous matchups? And generally speaking, when teams have done well against Steph this year, I don't know, like five times or whatever, what's usually happened? Like, what's the best way to try to get Steph out of that zone?
So this ties back to the first segment perfectly. This is what LeBron does. He's been doing it every year. He throws three guys at Steph, and he says, anybody else beat me, right? Anybody. Andre Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Klay, I don't care. But not Steph Curry. Not Steph. And it's the right way. It's the right way to play basketball. Why it works is that when Steph, if he's not turning it over against a triple team, then he gets it to, let's say, Draymond, or Looney. Looney passes it to the corner. It's Kelly Oubre. You know, the ball's not going back to Steph, right? And that's when it becomes a problem. That's when Steph doesn't – he can't get in rhythm. He's shooting 40% from the field, like you're saying. Now, the good thing is for this game is that now the Warriors have guys that only pass to Steph. So even if he's getting triple teamed, he can relocate. The cool thing about yesterday about the Jaren Jackson comes out on Steph at half court, and Steph backs up and passes to Draymond. And what Jaren Jackson, his problem is that he is basically not at half court, he can't recover. So Steph just says, all right, he jukes, he goes to the 3-point line, Draymond gets it back to him. Kelly Ray's not making that pass, right? Nobody's making what James Wiseman, not making that pass, et cetera, down the line. And so I think the good thing is now the Warriors have guys that are just going to say, well, I have the ball open, but I'm just going to look for Steph coming off that screen no matter what. So that's a good thing. The bad thing is you still have Juan Toscano-Anderson that may have to give you 15 points on Wednesday for the Warriors to win it. I don't know how likely that is, even though we all love JT.
What if he does, though? Like, you talked about the legend.
And he's Andre Iguodala. But he's Andre Iguodala, right? That means, yeah.
Andre, who would average like 2 points a game for a month, and then randomly in game six hit six threes when you need him to.
Because I obviously, you know, in this market, you know, we want the Lakers. Look, I want the Lakers to go. I don't want to do a daily podcast when the Lakers get eliminated in like the first round. For the rest of the year, it's good for business. Angry. It's good for everyone. It's I want the Lakers to move on here, but like the emergence of Alex Caruso and guys like that who become stars, just beloved in their market in moments like this, are really cool. So if it has to happen, I am rooting for Juan Toscano-Anderson to have like 27 and something in just some epic game. Probably won't happen though, right?
I could see Juan having a big game where he makes key plays. I would bet against 27 points. More likely to be like, you know, three steals that are happen at a key time.
Are those younger guys, the Pools, the Juan Toscano-Andersons, there's not much of a, or even at all, a sample size of them in the playoffs, like, you know, at this stage. Are they pretty fearless, do you think, like, regardless of how ready they are?
I thought the Memphis game yesterday was perfect because, as you recall, the Warriors got up big and then choked away that entire lead in the fourth quarter, and they could not score for a few minutes there. And that's where I thought everyone was starting to look really tight. And that's where guys who haven't been there before really show who they are. And the Warriors righted that ship with a big Jordan Poole bucket and a big Andrew Wiggins putback, the type of stuff where, you know, if they were kind of afraid of the moment, I wouldn't have expected them to do that stuff. So I do think they're a little fearless. I think playing next to two three-time champions who are constantly building up their confidence helps. Like, maybe they wouldn't have had that same level of fearlessness if they were next to, I don't know, like Ja Morant and Jonas Valanciunas, like two fine players who hadn't been there before. But
right
to date, they appear pretty fearless.
Along those lines, like, do you expect Wiggins to, because you guys mentioned him earlier, like, do you expect him to be able to perform in the way they need a two-way game from him in a big way on Wednesday? What are the odds of him sort of stepping up and providing what you think they need?
That's a tough one.
Or Andy.
Andy,
go ahead.
it's hard, and I don't blame him if he doesn't provide that. I think it's difficult because it's a difficult matchup. He can do that. He had a good game against Memphis, but that's Memphis. He knows he's better than Dylan Brooks and DeAnthony Melton and some of these guys. But it's a different world when you play against LeBron James, and I think it's LeBron James. Like, Anthony Davis, sure, he's awesome, maybe even better. But it's just a play-in game against LeBron with guys that I think that are most confident. I think Steph will be fine. Draymond will be fine. I think Jordan Poole will probably be fine because he's too young and he's too dumb. He's just like, whatever. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to shoot 15 times a game. It doesn't matter. I think Andrew Wiggins is the type of person, he does get a little rattled. We saw him do that in the first two games of the season against Brooklyn and then Milwaukee. Yeah, both games where he was just dreadful. Now, maybe some of that is percentages, and I don't want to say that that's what's going to happen, but I think it's not likely, and I don't know. You can't blame the guy. He's just not better than those guys. So they need him to score 30, but I doubt that's going to happen.
All right, we'll come back and we'll get into some of the larger questions. LeBron called Steph the MVP after Sunday's game. There are some people wondering if there's some politics going on there a little bit with that. So we'll talk about there where this game fits into the now growing Steph and LeBron history, and we'll do all that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. You can track all the action. Bet Online this week, tons of sports action on the go, including the play-in games like the one we've been talking about today. Bet Online has the Lakers as a 4.5-point favorite over the Warriors, widest gap of any of the play-in games. I guess Bet Online thinks the Warriors are light years ahead.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, Lakers light years ahead of the Warriors. I apologize. Get all the latest news, odds, info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop, mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Sam could buy a lot of car carpet with the money he makes off this game. I tell you what. Yeah. All right. So LeBron, after Sunday's game, called Steph the MVP. Andy, when we mentioned this before, you kind of smiled and nodded your head. Are you buying like what he's selling? Is this politics here with LeBron throwing all this praise at Steph? What do you think?
Classic. Is it recruitment?
Classic. Oh, well, so with the recruitment stuff, I would say probably not. I think he knows that stuff's not going anywhere. But it's funny.
The answer is always no unless you ask.
That's right.
That's true. That's what they teach me in sales. I think what Jared Dudley came out last night before I went to sleep. I saw what Jared Dudley said, saying about how this would be the hardest road ever for a champion. And I said, okay, all right. That one is that's an interesting one. And then I saw what LeBron said, and it makes sense. I think the politicking is you call Steph the MVP, and then you're the favorite to beat Steph 4.5 points, which I think started at 7. I think it's a little low, actually. So I think what LeBron is doing is he's building up the people and the teams that he's playing against so that if and when he does win, he looks that much better. It's like what he did in 2016 by calling the Warriors the 73-win team the greatest team of all time. And then because he's won, now he's the GOAT. So I think classic LeBron, very fun. It's perfect. It's part of the rivalry. It's Steph LeBron. It's been that way for years, and I think this is what makes the game great.
Do you think, though, there's an element at all of sincerity, Sam, in terms of the way LeBron's framing this? Because, I mean, Steph's had one hell of a season, and I think even LeBron knows he's out of contention for this award because he's just missed too many games.
I do think there's actually a level of sincerity with it, and let me tell you why. We're all somewhat aware that, like, LeBron wasn't a huge fan of all the praise Steph was getting back in like 2015.
No, he was not.
In that span, you know, he thought that team was stacked and they were making it too much about Steph, and he was a better player. Fair. I think the fact that we are 6-7 years removed from that and Steph Curry is still doing this and still challenging him and still really put one of the only players to put up a credible case against him as one of the best players in the league, I think that does garner respect. I think there's a level of anyone can have a magical year like you had in 2014 or 15. But to do this 6 years later, the longevity, I think, is what gets someone like LeBron. Because yeah. LeBron has longevity on basic effort. He knows how hard it is to play at that level for that long.
Where does this game, do you think, fit in? To the, you know, it because it's not the finals. It's not, you know, prime Steph versus prime LeBron, but it is important and it is a marquee game and it's something completely different.
It's bonkers, Steph. Before. I mean, wherever you want to put this in his timeline, right. What he's doing right now is flipping insane.
So where do you guys put this sort of LeBron versus Steph thing in with all the other LeBron versus Steph things?
Maybe it's the beginning of the final chapter. Maybe the Warriors figure out
right from me.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
right from me. Yep.
Maybe you know, a big thing we were hoping for from the Warriors this year was Steph having a bounce back year, which would ultimately help them in free agency over the summer. You know, show that the previous year with the injuries was just that, a fluke injury season, right? And so maybe this is the start of the final chapter. You know, the Warriors don't have Kevin Durant. They're going to be a decidedly different team. And obviously LeBron's on a decidedly different team than those Cleveland teams. So it's a start of maybe we get a matchup with them in the Western Conference Finals next year, right?
That's what I think. I think that's what I think this chapter is a chapter where LeBron is the favorite because Steph has been the favorite a fair amount against LeBron in the past. And there has been some close series, of course. But I think this is a chapter where you might see those guys play 7 next season. Mm-hmm. Klay comes back. Hopefully he's healthier. The Warriors get some more vets. I think this is so good for the NBA. This is so good. This is so good.
I mean, it's go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
I think this is amazing. It gives you goosebumps because these guys are going to 6-7 plus years, and then hopefully you have 2 years left at least with these guys playing against each other in the postseason. I mean,
yeah. Well, I think the ideal is, you know, the Lakers win. Whoever loses this game beats whoever wins against Memphis and San Antonio. So,
right.
What you don't want is Steph or LeBron not in the playoffs, and you know the real ones, I guess, the actual brackets, the 7 best of 7. But there's a chance for both of them to get in. And I think that's ultimately what I think will happen, first of all. But I think that's the best result. there's a world in which, guys, so this was a possible Western Conference Finals before Klay got hurt. So it's kind of cool that at least, Sam, that we're seeing a tiny bit of it in a season where it wouldn't look like we otherwise would have. I mean, it's kind of cool in that way.
No, I agree with you. I mean, from my perspective, it doesn't much matter what happens on Wednesday. Like, the Warriors have already proven their points in terms of showing that, like, you know, you can still build a contender around Steph Curry, and now it's about getting Klay healthy and fixing the marginal piece and everything. But with that said, like, yeah, I'm more excited to watch a matchup versus the Lakers on Wednesday than I would if they were playing a play-in game against any other team, Portland included, right?
Well, this is also a reminder, too. I mean, as we were saying, this is the, what is it, fifth now time that we've seen LeBron and Steph in some type of playoff setting. And, you know, we've gotten this matchup a bunch of times, but it's also a reminder that you don't always get these showdowns that you are theoretically promised. Like, right. For years, we were promised Kobe and LeBron in the finals. We were getting the Nike puppets every year and different commercials, and everything was geared up for those guys to meet. And for a bunch of different reasons, it didn't happen. If you're living in LA, we have been promised for like 15 years a hallway series between the Lakers and the Clippers, and for a bunch of different reasons, hasn't happened. When you keep getting Steph versus LeBron, guys at that level in matchups that actually matter, man, you should relish that stuff, because I think it happens less than we are consciously aware of.
God, I wish I could steal that segment from you, Andy, and just put it on our podcast. That's incredible. Like, that's the NBA.
If you want to use the audio, we'd love the promotion. Feel free.
I might just use the damn audio from that. That's awesome. Oh, excuse me. That's just awesome.
We're a lot of damn.
We couldn't
hear. Damn's okay. Damn's okay.
Okay. I'm with you. The more I think about it, I think with Warriors fans, with especially how I felt, you know, in 2015 was, there's just a lot of, LeBron's not that good, we don't like LeBron, you know, we beat LeBron, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's typical fan stuff. I think the few years down the line now, I'm more like, you just got to appreciate this stuff. This stuff is amazing. And yeah, hopefully not the end. Hopefully not the end of these two.
Yeah, I was going to say, neither Andy nor I lived the 80s Magic vs. Bird. I mean, I was alive, but I'm not going to pretend 3-year-old me was very aware of stuff. So I kind of imagine for this era, it has the potential to be that kind of rival. We got 5-6 years. If we get a couple more years of it, it doesn't matter that LeBron switched teams. It doesn't matter that it's not kind of the full same team. It's like, right, ultimately the same storyline of these two guys who are just constantly intertwined. You just, no matter what happens, they're always on a crash course to meet.
Yeah, physically different as players.
Right.
Yeah, it's like twins. I'll get to the last question here in a sec. Like, I feel as I get older, I find myself much, much more to your point, Andy, that like, I just want to see really good athletes and really good to like do stuff. Like, I don't root against teams. I don't really root against people. I want to see everyone do well. I'm very much a soccer dad at this point. Like, I drive a minivan. Like, I just want to see everyone happy and do well. All right, before we let you go, who wins? Who wins on Wednesday?
I think there's a shot at the Lakers blowing this thing out. I've seen this show before. I've watched in the regular season. I've watched the way that LeBron reads the defense. I mean, the Warriors offense. And I think there's one thing that everybody knows. If the Draymond at 5 is unstoppable, but not against a few players in the NBA, right? There's a few players in the NBA that can kind of stifle that.
The Lakers happen to have two of them.
And then Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's in the East, but, you know, you got LeBron at the 5 or AD at the 5, and that's really kind of the – Steph can go for 45 on Wednesday, and these guys can lose by 15. Like, that wouldn't surprise me. I've actually seen that show this season many times in the regular season. So I think the Lakers win. Even though that would be very depressing.
For the sake of having some fun, I'll pick the Warriors to pull an upset here. I think if the Lakers win, they're going to blow it open before the end of the first quarter. I think it's going to be one of those 36-21 end of the first. If that happens, we might not even see Steph in the fourth. They might just throw in the flag and be like, let's get ready for Friday. But if the opposite happens, if it's a tight game, I actually like the Warriors' chance to out-execute down the stretch, particularly when you consider the fact that LeBron has played, what, two games since his return?
Yep.
Anthony Davis, what, five or six? Have they played anything that resembles crunch time basketball?
No, to answer your question, Sam, down the stretch lately of games, the Lakers have looked pretty bad.
Yeah, LeBron looked good over the weekend. The team did not necessarily
look great. Right. So that's actually a really good point for people to look out for on Wednesday. If the game is tight, you may be correct that it actually favors Golden State.
And nice contrast is to Andy's deeply fatalistic and cynical game prediction. So, all right. Well, it is going to be fun. I am so excited, too, that it's both a great game and one where the loser isn't necessarily eliminated, as we talked about before. Andy Liu, Sam Asfendiari, hosts of the Light Years podcast. Go find it, download it, subscribe to it. There are none better on the Warriors than these guys. Thanks so much for making the time. I know it's really busy, and it was definitely short notice. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hopefully, they both happen to pull off some miraculous 7-8 stuff and get to the Western Conference.
And we're back.
I'll tell you, if Adam Silver can rig it, that is what's going to happen.
David Stern on, Adam.
Yeah, get your David Stern on. Come on.
It's what David would have wanted.
More frozen envelopes. All right, we'll see everybody Wednesday. More previews coming up on Wednesday. See everybody next time.